This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is 12:04 on the 5th of July, 2019. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm in the studio with...
Audrey Raj.
I'm Vinny Raj.
Just out of interest, any of you managed to see President Donald Trump's speech yesterday about the 4th of July?
I missed it.
You missed it? No, he was talking about how the Americans managed to fight them in the air and keep them on, and how they were using the airports in 1775.
Ah.
This guy's a genius, you know. Mm. So, on today's show, we will be talking about numerous things, but of course our topic of discussion today is we're in an age of digital transformation, but when it comes to automated customer experiences, what is your biggest pain point? Now, one of the things that is my biggest pain point is, imagine this scenario, right? You have called your telco, or you've called your internet provider, or you've called this, and something like this happens. So I've called them and I've gone, excuse me, miss, I'm having a little bit of a problem with my connection. Could you help me, please?
Good morning. You've reached Hot Yoda 97 Corp. This is Audrey speaking. How can I help you again?
I'm having a little bit of problems with my connection, please. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, thank you, sir. Your feedback is very valuable to us. Please hold while I patch you through to the complaints department.
How long am I going to be on hold for?
Good morning, sir. This is Audrey speaking. How can I help you?
This is Hot Yoda, right?
Yes, this is Hot Yoda.
I just called you a couple of minutes ago, Audrey, and I said I'm having a connection problem with my internet, and you know, I don't know what to do about it. What can you do to help me with this?
Sir, your concern is very important to us. Please give me a minute to take your concerns down. Please, just stay on the line.
I can't believe they're doing this.
Thank you for holding, sir. How can I help you?
I just spoke to a lady called Audrey, told her that I'm having problems with my connection. She's put me on hold twice. I'm not entirely sure what to do.
Ah, sir. Okay, sure. Could you just hold on the line for a minute?
I don't want to go on hold on.
The tea lady is here, sir. Just give me a minute, please. I'll be right back.
The tea lady? Really? The tea lady? Okay, so you kind of get the picture, right? Right. If you haven't got the picture by now.
Hot Yoda.
Hot Yoda, yeah. If you don't know who Hot Yoda is, we have a show a while ago where it was revealed to us that one of Arvin's screen names was Hot Yoda.
I never said it was mine. Well, never said it was mine.
Hot Yoda.
I said it's just some rando on the internet.
He also made himself 10 years younger.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So the reason...
Just pinned this on me.
We are discussing this today, of course. Ords, please explain.
Right. So just last week, I was at the Adobe Symposium in Sydney. And one of the major things that we were talking about was digital transformation. Mm. And Adobe even released a report last week that claims that Southeast Asians are most receptive to delightful customer experiences via automated interactions. So while personal service is still expected in this region, Southeast Asians are positive about well-executed automated interactions with brands. Now, more than two-thirds, we're talking about like 68% of people in this region agreed that if done well, completely automated interactions with a company can delight them. So what kind of
Delight them.
Yes, delight them. So what kind of completely automated interactions are we talking about? Well, Southeast Asians are most impressed by futuristic innovations that would help them save time. They are most likely to be delighted by features such as government interactions that automatically update your address or your personal details across departments. That would be nice, right?
No, that would be really nice.
Yes. Synced vehicle touch screens at drive-thrus, a smart store with no checkout lines. Southeast Asian consumers are also most impressed with experiences that can help save hassle. So maybe like the ability to have food delivered exactly where you are at a stadium or a concert. Mm-hmm. Using mobile apps to bring museum objects to life, AR. And also hotel keys and for check-ins, you know, being able to use your app for things like that. So you don't have to go to the reception and actually physically check in.
So your phone can be your wallet, your key, everything that
your
you
remote, everything.
Your remote,
yeah. And you're minimizing those face-to-face interactions where necessary. All of this, of course, if it's done well. Now, the findings suggest that brands in Southeast Asia should focus on innovations that help deliver quicker and more delightful customer experiences. So I managed to catch up with Scott Rigby, and he is the head of digital transformation at Adobe. And, you know, we had a quick chat and I asked him about, you know, some of the other interesting insights from this survey.
We talk a lot about sort of millennials being, say, the instant gratification generation. But in fact, if you looked at some of the expectation and you look at it across age demographics, the expectation actually increases as you get older. And so if anything, the interesting takeaway from this is that the younger generations are actually a bit more patient when it comes to bad customer experiences and willing to stick with, say, challenges around progressing to a shopping cart purchase, where older generations, like myself, are less tolerant, and therefore we're more likely in this case to then go and contact the company directly. And again, this is in the research where the older generation will contact the company directly and complain about the service, where the younger generations in Southeast Asia are more likely to complain to their friends or their family and cohorts, etc. The other interesting stat out of this research was really the level of automation that's acceptable at an SEA versus other regions, right? So Southeast Asia, people are more willing to have automation if it's done well, and therefore happy to kind of dispense with the face-to-face or direct-to-consumer kind of engagement if they get a great service and it's fully automated. And so they will be more willing to accept automation of different types of services as long as it's done very well.
Yeah, so this is really, it surprised me as well. You know, Southeast Asia's consumers' expectations are higher among older consumers. So consumers over 50 are more likely to believe that brands know them and respect them and are delighted at automation at every turn. The survey also shows that business bottom lines could be negatively impacted if these expectations are not met. So the older customers will actually pick up the phone and call your customer service to complain about something that's not going on when they are dealing with automated interactions with your company. But the younger generation are more forgiving and they're more likely to complain to a friend or a family member rather than calling up customer service to complain.
I can echo that. Mm. When I was forward selling earlier on, me and Frida were in the studio and we were talking about the pain points of this. And when you actually get to that menu system of push one for this and push two, yeah. The two of us... immediately, I'm pushing zero.
You just want to talk to somebody, right? So, but if you think the expectations are high in Southeast Asia, no, we do not compare to expectations in Australia and New Zealand. They have the highest customer experience expectations in the world. Now, Australians and New Zealanders have high expectations of personalization and automation than consumers in other regions. 79% of ANZ consumers demand tailored experiences from organizations, and 66% are happy to have completely automated interactions if done well. So I asked Scott again, you know, about the disparity between Southeast Asia and Australia and New Zealand. You know, why is it that, you know, in this region, our expectations are not as high as over in Australia and New Zealand, considering we were early adopters to mobile and mobile tech?
Through my own experience of having been in Southeast Asia, the quality of financial services experiences obviously differs country by country. Mm-hmm. There's certainly some that are early adopters and made early investments, and then there are others that are lagging behind simply because they still operate in a very traditional banking approach, very much sort of say branch-driven, sort of face-to-face consulting and so forth. They still yet to make the digital transformation investment required to sort of marry up to, say, the best in class in the region.
So the gist of it is what Scott is saying here is that the Southeast Asian survey data is encouraging for brands in this region, as it kind of shows how receptive consumers here are towards the transformative impact of technology and what it can do for customer experiences. But we kind of need to start thinking and pushing for digital transformation across the board, you know, in different industries and with every touch point a consumer, you know, comes in touch with. This is what he had to say.
It's not for lack of technology to be able to deliver customer experience. Asia, because they're somewhat later to the game in respect of customer experience investment have gone for a platform approach. And so that's like one or two sort of key suppliers where the technology is already integrated and they're focusing more on delivering more experiences rather than trying to hold the technology together. The biggest problem in my mind is really the organizational and culture shift that needs to happen within organizations to actually drive value out of the technology. A lot of cases, brands are investing in technology, but they're not thinking about, now I bought this new technology, I can't use the same skills potentially that I had before. I might need some new roles, therefore I need to hire more people with those skills. I need to rethink the processes that I have in my business. And more importantly, at a leadership level, if there's not kind of that impetus to say, you know what, this is really important to us, and you need to focus on it, and we're going to KPI people behind it, then the organization is not going to change to the new way of thinking. They're not going to talk about digital metrics and the dialogue and measuring customers through kind of these digital KPIs. And so the business continues to operate, and they tend to, great for 6 months, and then suddenly they just go back to doing what they used to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so the digital transformation gets off the ground very briefly and just goes back to doing what they were doing before. And so the problem now is more of an organizational challenge than it is a technological challenge.
That was Scott Rigby, head of digital transformation at Adobe. And Scott also said that Adobe has seen immense potential for what brands can do to delight their customers through technology, whether putting autonomy in the hands of consumers to access self-directed interactions or enhancing brand experiences with tech. However, with this high expectations, organizations need to ensure that their innovation experiences are well executed. They also need to prioritize the things that matter most to the consumers in this region, which is saving them time.
Saving time.
Mm. I think that's the key word.
Not being on this.
Not being on hold, yes. As we all know, it sounds like this. Ladies and gents, we're going to wrap up for this segment. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Of course, if you'd like to get in touch with the show, we're in an age of digital transformation. But when it comes to automated customer experiences, what is your biggest pain point? Being on hold is mine. Terrible hold music is another one. We'll be back with both Audrey's, Arvin's, and of course Christine's in just a couple of minutes. Music coming up from JJ Cale with Call Me the Breeze. When we come back, your feedback, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter, and Instagram at BFM Radio.
Billions from me. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And of course, our producer for today is Christian Wong. And the music you can hear in the background, of course, is that typical hold music that you would hear I think we can kill it now. Kill it with fire. that you would hear if you are put on hold for one. It's terrible. And I don't know why they use that kind of music. And it's on loop. And here's the thing, right? We've spoken about how older people tend to be the ones
that would pick up the phone and
complain. Pick up the phone and complain, right? I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's a fair assessment. Now, the one problem that I do have, other than it just being put on hold, is the fact that there's certain criteria, I think, for me that shows how good and how customer-centric a company is when you do get put on hold or when you are calling a company. Let's say, for example, you have an urgent problem, your phone is not working properly, and you manage to call the helpline, and it takes an age for them to answer, if they answer at all. Mm-hmm. And then when you finally do get put through to somebody, you are put on hold for a while, and they can't necessarily solve your problem immediately. And I know some problems cannot be solved immediately, but that first issue of calling and calling and calling and calling and calling, and it just going on for like sometimes 15, 20 minutes, you know, before somebody picks up. Now, there are specific rules in the EU and in the US where you are supposed to pick up after a certain amount of calls. If the phone rings more than three times and you haven't picked up your phone, then there's an issue and that goes down on your KPIs. I don't see why we're not implementing something like that over here in Malaysia.
How do the call centers work there? Like are they shared between companies or are they outsourced? Because I know the ones here are like heavily outsourced. Like a few companies will use the same call centers and then they have to service like different companies. Depending on the volume of calls that the companies get, then the customer service agents are allocated to each and each different company.
A bit of both, Arv. And I know some of the software that they use. There's even older software where they have a light above the monitor that's, you know, it's green when it's rung three or four times. Mm-hmm. It goes amber as it goes past the four or five times. And then when it goes past that, it's a big red flashing thing that says, you need to be picking up this call, dude.
Yeah.
Or dudette.
I guess, doesn't it come down to the KPI, whether they need, you know, those calls answered immediately or if they need those issues resolved?
Right.
You know, which is the bigger KPI there?
Right. Well, the thing is, you don't know what the issue is if you're not picking up the phone, right?
True. That's
no, but
true
that's why it comes to the automation. So the automation is supposed to solve your problems before you get to the human being or the person on the other end. He or she is supposed to be like the last resort.
Yeah.
But the problem is, I think they mentioned customization before, and that's why people, they want customization with their automation, which they're not able to do yet. The reason you pick up the phone and want to complain is because you have a specific problem that is special or is unique to yourself. It's not something that you can check on your app or you can go to the website or info that you can get from the FAQs. So when you hear the automated responses like, oh, this is your credit card balance or this is how much you owe the telco company, it's not why you're calling the company. It's because you have a problem with the bill. So you still need to go to the human being and you go into your specific problem and go, hey, why have you double billed me? Or why have you billed me for stuff that I didn't buy?
Let me give you another quick example. When I call the bank or something and they say, please input your IC number.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have an IC number, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I want to speak to someone, I have to speak to someone every single time.
Yeah.
I have to speak to somebody. And again, I go through that rigmarole of whatever. Anyway, before odds. Do you want to pick up the feedback first or do you want to carry on?
Let's do the feedback.
Let's go over to Twitter. I know Arv's got some over there.
Yeah, so I'll pick one from here. This comes from Ray, who says, language. People might not understand the automated responses in English, and then there's many that use slang and the automated responder can't understand that.
True.
Mm.
There's another one here on WhatsApp. This is from Maggie, who says, I'm just too old school for all this automated service. Never quite satisfied with the menu that is presented to solve my problems. I'd definitely punch the zero button ASAP, and if the problem is serious enough, I'd pay a visit to the office.
Ooh.
So companies know that as well now. I think now it's not zero. So different companies will use like a 7 or 8.
Or a 4.
Or 4. So they'll sort of mix it up. They'll randomize the option because they know you're going to hit the zero. Yeah.
Yes. Sneaky.
So you still have to listen to all the options before you get to the last one. And more often than not, you'll get fed up and you'll just hit one to get to your answer quicker.
Or you'll listen back through the menu again just to make sure you're pushing the right one.
Yeah.
Also, Maggie, you know, imagine if you go to the office to complain and then you're stuck in the elevator and you hear the same hold music on hold music. Imagine that.
Or you've had to go over there at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon or something like that and you're just like...
And then you're physically on hold.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, coming back to this report from Adobe, right? It says here that the biggest experience breaker for Southeast Asian consumers revolved around unexpected cost situations. In particular, marketplace sellers not having a return policy, a cancellation policy for travel purchases not being highlighted prior to online purchase, and hidden monthly fees. Now, how many times has that happened to us?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Just recently.
Like for me, I think my biggest pain point is, you know, if you go to a retailer that has an automated checkout counter, right, where you can kind of like scan your own stuff and pay using your card. And then, you know, you accidentally scan twice or, you know, your barcode just isn't working. And then you have to call like the customer.
A human being.
Yes, a human being. And then you've got all these red lights buzzing. I don't know if you know which retailer I'm talking about, you know, but you've got all these red lights buzzing and this poor person is like having to rush to each counter to like swipe his or her card and cancel and like try and help you with it, and you're still waiting, you know. So that is for me a little pet peeve.
So is it like teething problems, or you think we'll get used to it? Like, do you guys use automated services like when they have them? Like, there are fast food restaurants here that use kiosks now. Specific fast food restaurants.
I know
that
you're
use
putting me
now.
On the spot because you know I don't do that.
Yes, I do.
Every single time.
Every single time.
I would pick a machine every single time. I'm sorry. I like that face-to-face, but if it's unnecessary, then I just pick a machine.
Even if the queue is shorter with the real-life person?
Yeah, because I think the checkout is just faster. So you just click the stuff you want. You know what you want. It's on the menu. You just see everything. You you know, click, click, click. And then you tap your PayWave and you're done.
Okay, I mean, stuff like I love the convenience of being able to pay using my card or do transfers directly from my phone to banking and whatever. But the problem I have is sometimes, and you will know this, or we all know this, that sometimes the malls that we go to have portions that are underground, right? And so when you're trying to receive your OTP or whatever it is, there's no signal underground. And it's sending the OTP to your phone that relies on there being a signal. And so therefore, you don't get your OTP.
So you can't check out.
So you can't check out.
But you know what it's like here. You can be on the 22nd floor, not even underground.
That's
and you
true.
Still won't get your OTP in That's time true. For that.
Exactly. And you stood there. I know Jeff has had this problem recently. And you stood there waiting 20 minutes, waiting for this thing to come through. And it just... Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
And it times out.
Yeah, and it times out.
Yeah, then you need to call customer service and they put you on hold.
And then it's not the zero, so you're trying to find the right number.
The proper option. Yeah.
Or little things like, you know, you've lost your bank card and you need to get your bank card replaced. Now, in my mind, what I would do is go to the local branch of that particular bank with my identification. I've lost my card and, you know, I need a new one. Here's my ID. Can I just get a new bank card? Oh, no, sir. You have to go to the bank that you opened the account from. Why do I need to do that?
Yeah.
The data should be linked, is it not?
And also, why can't you update your address, you know, with like, say, your bank?
Right.
You don't actually have to be physically present there to update your address and your personal details as well. Why can't you just do it
online?
One thing that Christine has mentioned about when you book food from one of those vending screen things, you can't ask for extra sauce.
Oh,
now you're thinking twice, aren't you?
Unless they add the element.
Unless they add the element. Time for us to take a very short break. We've got Sam and Dave coming up with Hold On, I'm Coming. If you want to get in touch, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. On Twitter and Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Story number two coming up in just a few minutes. I am bored. Actually, it's good to be bored at work, apparently. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.